Item six.
Commissioners, item six is case number CHC-2011-2619 at 2233 and a half West Sunset Boulevard. This is the 2233 and a half West Sunset Boulevard property, the home. The staff recommendation is that the Cultural Heritage Commission not take the property under consideration and adopt the report findings. But I think if we could have a presentation done first before we elaborate on our findings. And we do have a letter from the Echo Park Historical Society to give to you.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Rory Mitchell. I live at 1562 Lemoyne Street in Los Angeles, California, 90026. I've had to type my remarks out so that I can read them.
1 second, please.
Mm-hmm. I also brought a friend who's going to read the letter into the record, or you guys can read it on your own to yourself. I don't know.
I have, these are, say, item five. What's your name, sir?
Rory Mitchell.
Because I see you have Anna Marie Brooks here as the applicant.
This is item six.
This is item six.
I know, but I think that the
you skip something.
Something's screwy. One second. Why don't you go ahead with your presentation and we'll try to get the paperwork solved here. Again, your name for the record, please.
Okay. My name is Rory Mitchell. I live at 1562 Lemoyne Street in Los Angeles, California, 90026. I'd like to thank the Cultural Heritage Commission and the Office of Historic Resources for allowing this hearing to happen. I'd especially like to thank Edgar Garcia for guiding me through this process, my first nomination. The Anna Zokchek Cottage is worthy of designation primarily for its identification with a historic personage in the main currents of national, state, or local history. It also contains secondary significance for exemplifying the broad cultural, political, economic, or social history of the nation, state, or community. Anna Zokchek, seen here at 19 years old in a photograph by Edward Weston, is a unique figure in the history of Los Angeles, and the Anna Zokchek Cottage has a significant story to tell future generations of Angelenos. It is a story about the development of Sunset Boulevard and the living conditions of working-class Angelenos over a century ago. It is a story about the birth of the film industry, D.W. Griffith, and his greatest films, The Birth of a Nation and Intolerance. And it is a story about the history and evolution of theater in our city and the first dramatic play for African Americans. Finally, it is about the long struggle for social justice and what an immigrant family could accomplish in Los Angeles. The Anna Zokchek Cottage presents an extraordinary educational opportunity and must not be demolished without due consideration. I'm not an architectural historian. I'm a native Angeleno who's passionate about the history of our city, who learned to research a building's history by volunteering with the Echo Park Historical Society. At that time, I also learned that these brick storefronts and century-old houses along Sunset Boulevard would be demolished by a developer who assured us that there was no historic value to any of these structures. The ramshackle cottages located behind these buildings convinced me otherwise. The first time I saw the Anna Zokchek Cottage and the shingled cottage sited across from it, it was like stepping into working-class Los Angeles of over a century ago. These buildings would have been built when Echo Park looked something like this. Anna's father, a janitor in New York City, moved his family across the country and built this cottage somewhere in late 1903. Anna would have arrived just in time for the parade to celebrate the newly completed Sunset Boulevard, still a dirt road at that time. As the Times described the parade, children appeared with their heads wreathed in flowers and tooted tin horns while young men and women waved little flags in jubilation. In 1909, the first permanent movie studio in Los Angeles would be built just 4 or 5 blocks away in the Edendale section of Echo Park. Edendale would soon be the epicenter of the movie industry. At the time, Anna was already studying at the Los Angeles Conservatory of Music, the predecessor to CalArts. She would have traveled from the cottage on the outskirts of the city to the conservatory located downtown on 5th and Main. It was for her recitals at the conservatory that her name would appear in the papers for the first time. It would not be the last. She had also begun studying acting at the Egan Institute of Dramatic Art, possibly one of the first schools for acting in the city. She would perform at the Majestic Theater on Broadway and 8th. By the time Anna was discovered by D.W. Griffith in 1915, they had moved out of the Anna Zakchek cottage and into one of the two houses built by her father at the front of the parcels, but her long years of study begun at the Anna Zakchek cottage would culminate in her role as a featured extra in The Birth of a Nation as... not going to see Birth of a Nation. And not going to see Intolerance. Okay. Birth of a Nation is Laura Keene, the actress on stage the night Lincoln was shot. That's her right there. She became well known enough that she appeared in this advertisement. She would act in over 30 films over her six-year career, many of them for Griffith. She was usually cast in the role of the femme fatale, including that original femme fatale, Mary Magdalene, in Intolerance. When film roles dried up, she would return to the theater and her childhood mentor, Frank Egan, to act and eventually direct. Her production of Africanus was the first dramatic play for African Americans in the history of Los Angeles theater. The Crisis, the official magazine of the NAACP, noted that in stage settings, Ms. Zakchek has struck a note entirely new to Los Angeles, and the local audiences will see futuristic scenery employed for the first time. Those would have been cubist sets, apparently. For another one of her plays, none other than the architect Rudolf Schindler would design the scenery, and Anna Zakchek and he would go on to have a lifelong professional and personal relationship. She would represent him in his divorce, and he would build a beach house for her in Playa del Rey. It's worth noting the similarities between the craftsman porch on the house built by her father at 2231 Sunset Boulevard and the porch on the beach house, which does not show up in Schindler's original design for the house. If it were not for its demolition to make way for LAX, the Zakchek beach house would likely be the best house to represent her as an HCM. It's also been suggested that her last home, the old Howard Hughes estate at 211 Muirfield Road in Hancock Park, might better fit the profile of an existing HCM in the city of Los Angeles than the Anna Zakchek cottage. Any difference? Yes, okay. A wedding gift from her husband, she did not move into 211 Muirfield until 1945, when the most prominent cases of her career would have been behind her. Furthermore, through an interview with Stephen Windsor, her stepson, I learned that the current residents have erected a privacy hedge and a gate to shield it from the public. Stephen Windsor wanted to be here today, but his job at Public Social Services in Glendale made it impossible. Although it may fit the profile better as a grand mansion, it is not the best residence. It is not the residence that best represents the story of Anna Zakchek, the daughter of immigrants in a working class neighborhood who would go on to be the defender of the poor and oppressed. It is clear how Anna's formative years at the Anna Zakchek cottage contributed to her careers in film and theater, but there's also evidence for the formative experiences that would have contributed to her career as a defense lawyer as well. The presence of Russian scholar and novelist Stephen K. Szymanowski in the Zakchek household suggests the intellectual milieu that Anna would have been raised in. Szymanowski lectured on the plight of women in Russia, predicted the fall of the Tsar, and in 1908 wrote a book called The Searchers about a defense lawyer in Los Angeles assigned by the court to defend a young girl who could not afford a lawyer otherwise. Anna Zakchek would spend much of her career as a lawyer representing those who could not afford one. Anna's first client in a case of national prominence would be Pedro Gonzalez, the most popular Spanish-speaking radio announcer and recording star of the day. Los Angeles city officials, threatened by his influence with Hispanics, falsified rape charges that sent him away to San Quentin for 50 years. In 1935, Gonzalez's accuser would confess to Anna Zakchek that she had perjured herself under pressure from city officials. Despite a signed affidavit, it would take Anna Zakchek until 1940 to finally secure Mr. Gonzalez's release. In Mr. Gonzalez's papers at the UCLA Center for Chicano Studies, a tiny note explains how Mr. Gonzalez felt about his lawyer. Mi abogada muy buena. My lawyer, very good. Anna Zakchek continued her fight for social justice when she represented Henry Levas, alleged gang leader in the Sleepy Lagoon murders, an incident of Anglo-Hispanic racial tension leading up to the Zoot Suit riots. Over 600 Hispanic youths were arrested at that time, and 21 stood trial. During the trial, Anna attempted to testify that when she arrived at the police station to visit her client, she found him barely conscious, covered in his own blood, handcuffed to a chair. The judge did not allow her testimony. Anna Zakchek would go on to represent participants in the Zoot Suit riots, abortionists, and a 13-year-old boy, Eddie Alvarez, who had been accused of the murder of his mentally impaired brother. Echo Park has undergone vast demographic and socioeconomic shifts over the past century, and the Anna Zakchek cottage has undergone alterations that reflect these shifts. The front porch and the windows are non-original, and the front porch was constructed in the last 10 years, actually by indigenous hipster craftsmen. According to Section 8 of the National Register Bulletin, how to apply the National Register criteria for evaluation, all properties change over time. It is not necessary for a property to retain all of its historic physical features or characteristics. The property must retain, however, the essential physical features that enable it to convey its historic identity. Additionally, a property important for association with a person ideally might retain some features of all seven aspects of integrity. A basic integrity test is whether a historical contemporary would recognize the property as it exists today. The essential physical feature of the Anasazi cottage, to my eye, is the shingled dormer set in the roof. Despite the loss of its original windows and front door, this would mean that somewhere between 80 and 85% of the exterior of the house retains its integrity. Combined with its mass and plan, its location at the rear of the parcel, its setting across from the older shingled cottage, and primarily the feeling of Los Angeles at the turn of the 19th century, it retains a majority of the seven aspects of integrity. According to Section 7 of the National Register Bulletin, guidelines for evaluating nominating properties associated with significant persons, properties associated with a person's formative years may qualify if it can be demonstrated that the individual's activities during this period had historical significance or were important in understanding his or her later achievements. Anna Zokchek's formative years in this house from roughly ages 6 to 14 would provide the foundation for her remarkable accomplishments later in life. And it is the one house from which the scope of these accomplishments can be fully appreciated. HCM number 159, the Dr. Ralph Bunch home, where Dr. Bunch spent his formative high school and college years, though not his productive years, would be a precedent. Throughout her varied careers, Anna Zokchek represented the powerless, the poor, and the oppressed. The foundation of these beliefs all would have been set in the immigrant neighborhood of Echo Park in this humble cottage. Through her association with D.W. Griffith and the role she played in two of his greatest films, as well as her contributions to the evolution of theater in Los Angeles and the first dramatic play for African Americans, and finally, for her devotion to the long fight for social justice in Los Angeles in some of the most egregious and racially charged abuses of power in the history of Los Angeles, the story of the Anna Zokchek cottage is a significant one and one that must be preserved for future generations of Angelenos, immigrants and natives alike, to learn from and honor. Please take the Anna Zokchek cottage under consideration for a Los Angeles historic cultural monument.
Well,
thank you,
Roy. You did a really good job for your first nomination. I commend you. It was really entertaining, and you got a lot. You said a lot.
Thank you.
Any questions to Roy, commissioners? Okay, we have a few people. We have some four people for this. Anna Marie Brooks, did you want to come forward? And Susan Borden. And Bob Kondrat. Yeah. Sit down, and you take turns.
You want to start with Anna Marie or Susan?
Okay. Anna Marie Brooks, 1109 Fourth Avenue. I did two of the nominations that he cites for women who were accepted. I also did two for women who weren't accepted, one of whom had been previously recorded as a man. And when she was a man, another development that she did was made a monument. Very interesting. The other one was the site of, which we just had. And I think one of the things that perhaps the commission sometimes overlooks is their historic cultural monuments. And this person certainly made a great, great many contributions to the culture of LA. It's not much of a looker, but if you look at it from the cultural aspects, it's a whole other story. We all came from somewhere. Some of us came from mansions. Some of us came from houses like this. Some of us came from somewhere in between. I think it's important that her work be recognized as well as just architecture, architecture, architecture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? Why this house as opposed to another house? And because I agree with you is very important. She's a very important.
Exactly.
I'm questioning why this house, why, or with your argument, why not every one of her houses?
Well, one of them is gone, so that sight of forget it, it seems
no,
to
but,
be.
No, but you know, hypothetically, what's
it's the, in a neighborhood that now.
No, I'm talking about this particular house. What makes it more important than another house, or should they all be? I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. I'm just
exactly.
asking a question.
They could all be, but, you know, so often we only nominate and accept the highest of where they ended up. But everybody begins somewhere. And obviously...
Yeah, but, I mean, we've had situations where, what's his name, who wrote his book in his cottage.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was something very... specific about that made
right.
that a very important space. I'm just questioning. It was just a question that I'm asking.
Exactly.
I'm not going to take any sides right now. I just
think it's an interesting little close to shack, but I think it should be recognized as not the place where she was born because she wasn't born in Los Angeles, but it was her first contact with Los Angeles. And from that, she built quite a career. And I think it should be recognized as part of her career.
Okay. How long did she live in the house?
8 years, I think.
Okay.
From age 6 to 14, is that
yeah,
correct?
Roughly from ages 6 to 14. They moved out here somewhere in 1903. There's another address for them. This was their first, this was her childhood home, from 6 to 14.
Okay. Another speaker, please. State your name for the record.
Susan Borden, 2024 Valentine Street. When a friend and I set out to create a book about Echo Park history a dozen years ago, we were surprised to find out how rich and diverse our neighborhood has been. Echo Park has been a place where ideas and movements began, where people started often well-known careers. Rather than a final destination, Echo Park has been a place of origins. West Coast silent movie studios were first located in Echo Park. I was thrilled to find out that Charlie Chaplin initiated his little tramp character here. The streets of Echo Park show up frequently in those early movies. Artists, radicals, and activists also discovered Echo Park to be congenial. Parts of Echo Park were informally known as Red Hill because of the residents' strong socialist and communist sympathies. Born in 1896, Anna Zakchek was an uncommon person, a woman who personifies those twin strands in Echo Park history. In the early 20th century, beautiful young Anna Zakchek, brought up on Sunset Boulevard, became silent movie star Olga Gray and played her part in the rise of film entertainment with roles in Birth of a Nation and other silent movies. Her deepening interest in social justice then led Anna to become a respected lawyer at a time when women lawyers were rare. Anna was the attorney who represented three of the defendants in the infamous Sleepy Lagoon murder trial of 1942. As a local woman who became a silent movie star and then a crusading lawyer, Anna Zakchek is one of Echo Park's residents we can be proud of, and I appeal to you to honor her by nominating her childhood home.
Thank you.
I asked Bob, I wasn't sure how you guys handled the letter, so I asked Bob to read the letter. Would you like to hear it?
Here it goes.
The letter from the Echo Park Historical Society?
Yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, great. Bob Kundrat, I live at 4053 Perlita Avenue, Los Angeles. This is a letter from Matthew Dubois, the acting president of the Echo Park Historical Society. Dear Honorable Commission members, the Echo Park Historical Society supports the above-referenced nomination for the Anna Zakchek Cottage located at 2233 Sunset Boulevard, Washington Heights, Echo Park, California. The designation and preservation of the Anna Zakchek Cottage is a significant opportunity to teach about working-class Los Angeles of a century ago through its connections to G.W. Griffith and the early movie industry, the history of Los Angeles theater and the first dramatic play for African Americans, as well as the long fight for social justice in the Pedro Gonzalez trial and Sleeping Lagoon murders, in addition to its significance as part of a whole potential historic district. The Washington Heights Tract is called out in the Silver Lake Echo Park Elysian Valley Community Plan as a potential historic preservation area. The concentration of late 19th and early 20th century homes currently under revitalization and restoration makes it ideal for consideration. The loss of this many contributors to a potential district not only reduces the amount of contributors, but post-construction adds a long block of non-contributing structures to a potential survey area for the district. More thoughtful attention by the Commission to the cumulative effects of demolition requests for areas designated for potential HPOZs is essential to the success of historic preservation citywide. Echo Park is but one of a number of communities citywide to see random demolitions of potentially significant blocks of housing, but one that is most hard hit by the recent past surge in speculative developments. This violates the intent of the community plan and raises a red flag for the need for more restrictive zoning in areas designated for study. Please consider this nomination for landmark status as a step towards preserving the historic fiber of one of Los Angeles's first neighborhoods. Composed of uniquely working class workforce housing, the loss of another significant home will further diminish the potential for Washington Heights as a potential district and for Echo Park as a whole as a historic neighborhood. Thank you for your time. Matthew Dubois, Acting President, Echo Park Historical Society.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, you look like you have something you want to say.
I do, because this is my zip code. You're lucky today. I grew up in this area, and I share with you your concerns. And I think this woman is a wonderful example of LA and how we've all, well, I'm a native, but how people have come and made a difference. And it speaks to our movie industry. It speaks to our cultural diversity. And I was thinking about, as you were talking about, to educate in these little schools that are nearby, how kids could walk there and see this and relate to this story. And I do think that it has a very significant cultural, I would say, point for our community. So I support you. I want to say that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Any other questions?
I'm wondering if we can. Are we done?
We have someone to speak against.
Are we done with public?
No, we're not. Okay, thank you. I'd like to call Pam O'Connor.
Hi, good morning. My name is Pam O'Connor. I'm an architectural historian with Kaplan Chen Kaplan. I worked on this project when it was going through the development review processes and prepared the historic resource assessment for multiple buildings on the property that was submitted to the city for its environmental review. Every building has a story to tell. Every neighborhood has a story to tell. And the life of Anna Zasek is one of those stories. It is part of this neighborhood. It is part of the city of Los Angeles' history. But what we're tasked here today is whether city government should make the decision that this particular building should be saved as a representative piece of that history. Now, as one is tasked with those decisions, we look at a number of things. We get by guidance from sources such as the National Park Service, who provides us with the National Register Bulletin 32. That helps us say, how do we make this association and evaluate the association of a building to a person? Because, again, every building has a story to tell. Bulletin 32 notes that the building needs to be related to the productive life of the person. That period, when the person was doing the work and the achievements that they are known for. With Anna and this, we're speculating about her childhood. She lived here for a few years when she was young. Clearly, everybody's childhood and every place you live has an impact. But again, that's speculation. And what we're tasked with doing is being able to make findings that can stand about the historic significance. And also, in assessing someone's productive life, Bulletin 32 notes that an evaluation needs to be done about how they compare to others in their field. So basically, this building is not viewable from the public right of way. It is, I don't think the findings can be made to meet the threshold to designate this a landmark and your task is to make those findings. Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I hear what you're saying about the national or
Bulletin
32. The bulletin, but isn't there also something about, say, if Abraham Lincoln had slept or had been born there and left when he was 5 years old, that would be more significant than, say, if I was born there?
Well, that's the comparative analysis. One could say, yeah, do you compare them against all presidents? Presidents probably are held to a higher level that might pass muster in that community, and I don't know how it would do with the National Register. Here you're dealing with someone who was an actress and an attorney, an attorney in an era when there were fewer women, but yet there's no data, no evaluation of how she compares and her achievements relative to others. So part of that, you know, making that decision that, you know, someone slept here, I mean, that's getting away from someone slept here, someone spent some time here. Because if you use that, I think that's where Bulletin 32 is going. If you use that, then you have a very low threshold. Many, many buildings could meet that criteria. And again, this is government putting restrictions on a building, so you have to make some serious findings and give a serious consideration whether this particular building should be preserved in perpetuity because of that association.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to say that I think it's very important that when you are making that assessment, that the people that live and work in the community have a sense of that time and place, and that's very important to the assessment of what we do in our community.
Okay. Edgar, did you want to speak about your...
Well, ultimately, our findings fall just on the fact, of, again, that because of the ages between 6 and 14, that we didn't pass judgment on whether this person was worthy of being a historic personage under our ordinance, but just by the sheer fact that we couldn't tie it to her productive years. Secondly, because of what we see as the integrity issues with the physical condition of the building, that in combination led us to our decision with this finding of not to take under consideration. And just as a general background with the department, we did review the historic resource assessment that was provided by Kaplan Shane Kaplan for the replacement project. We saw two different versions after comments were made about some of the inadequacies of the report when it came to a district discussion, because we did ask them to sort of view the area a little larger in scope as to just opposed to these particular buildings. And the assessment tied to this cottage in that report was tied specifically, I think, to the family members of Anna Zaksek. So the analysis provided by Rory does have a lot more information about her specifically, but again, we couldn't tie it specifically to that property because of the age span of what we believe is when she lived there. And again, just as a note from the planning department, that the mitigated negative declaration, the environmental review for the replacement project, I believe that was approved in April of 2011.
Yeah. Gar, did you have something?
No, I don't.
No? You're good?
I think I'm okay.
Okay. Commissioners, I'm closing the public hearing. I think we should deliberate over this a little bit for the record. I think you already have.
Go for it.
Well, personally, I see this as a sort of a tough one. I guess I sort of share the staff's report in terms of whether or not her life at this particular cottage from 6 to 14 as a young woman. I mean, it seems like there would be probably the Schindler house that was destroyed by the LA airport would be probably a better structure. I'm not sure the Howard Hughes structure is any better than is a good example of a building that would be recognized with her. So it's always a difficult decision with these kinds of issues.
Tara,
would you like to comment?
Yeah, I guess I do need to comment. I would tend to agree that her age from 6 to 14 is a little bit of a stretch. I think maybe if she was more of a childhood actress and know, like a Shirley Temple or something that grew up in this house and was doing significant things at the time, but I don't see that here. And I think it's already been determined that there's other places that she lived that would probably represent more of where she contributed to the productive years of her life. And I do see that there's integrity issues with the property. And I get the sense that this nomination is being brought forth more to try to prevent development in the area. And I don't really believe that designating monuments is really a tool to manipulate that. So that's just kind of my comments.
Then I have one more comment, that she's a very unusual and pioneering young woman. And I think for a woman of that time to be so out there and relevant and committed to social causes, those kinds of commitments are formed in your formative years. And that she was able to live and work in this city and have those accomplishments and commitments to what I believe to be a very strong social conscience is what I'm speaking to. And it's very, very, and there definitely was a very big glass ceiling at that time. So I think that this woman is worthy, if you want to have a level of standard for making your decisions, that this is one of them. So that's why I'm so supportive of this nomination.
Okay. Gail, would you like to comment?
Well, I feel similarly the way I felt about the Thomas Hart Benton issue, the wife of Thomas Hart Benton, that this doesn't rise to the level of commemorating the life of this woman by designating this property. I don't think we're really falling short. I think that there needs to be a recognition of the role of women in Los Angeles in another way. So I would not support the consideration.
I'm the only one who hasn't spoken.
Yes.
I think the woman is absolutely fascinating. I think she is deserving of recognition. I feel sometimes that this commission is put in a position to recognize people when the city needs to find other ways to recognize people of this importance, and she is very important. I would feel that if you could show me that there were meetings held here for the Sleepy Lagoon, if there was something happening in this space, I'd feel very, I would be very supportive of it. I'm very supportive of her. I'm extremely supportive of her. I think she's a fascinating person. I would love to find a way of honoring. I don't know if this is the way, but I am not going to go along with our staff's report just on the fact that I would consider it, but I would tell you I would probably not vote for it after we did consider it.
That's sort of a funny one.
No, I'm sort of saying come back with something that really, specifies this house, and I would be jumping up and down. So I would just say I'd give time, but I'd like to call the vote.
Okay, everybody ready?
So I'd like to make the motion to not take the property under consideration and to adopt the report findings.
I second.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hamacher?
Yes.
Commissioner Gannard?
Yes.
Commissioner Louis?
No.
Did you say no?
I said no.
Okay. Commissioner Scott?
No.
Commissioner Barone?
No. I mean, yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, okay. I'm voting to...
Not to declare.
I'm along with the report.
Yes, I'm going along with the staff recommendation.
Motion is carried.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank you for coining that wonderful phrase, indigenous hipster craftsman.
And again, it was a very good report.
Very fine report.
Item 7.
Good afternoon.